Hey everyone, welcome to God's Plan, Your Part, Year 2, where this year we're reading through and studying the entire New Testament, one chapter at a time. Thanks again for joining us in discovering God's plan and your part in it.
Have you ever been close to somebody who experienced significant life change? I mean, like when you knew them before, they were somebody completely different, and now they have changed in a big way. I think that's what's going on here at the center of John chapter 9. There's actually a lot to take away from this relatively short story, but one of the big things that I take away from it is be really careful about judging someone as though you used to know them instead of knowing who they are now today. I think a lot of us can easily fall into this.
Well, I think a little backstory for anybody who hasn't listened to the chapter being read yet or read it for themselves. This is the story of Jesus healing the blind man, where he puts the mud over his eyes, tells him to go wash, and after he washes, he is healed from his blindness. And this story was super interesting to me this time specifically because of the nature of this miracle, from what the text says, that this is something that has never happened before. So its validity is like, it's insane. Someone being healed of blindness in this time, in this time of history, is insane. So anyway, that's a little context of what the chapter is about and kind of just like my like ultimate takeaway from it. But is there anything from the beginning of the chapter that stuck out to you?
Well, I think just to unpack this piece by piece, Jesus and his disciples come upon this man, and it's known that he has been born blind. Like, he's been blind his whole life. He was born that way. Nobody ever assumed that he could be any different than a blind man who was born blind. And the problem that they assume is that either he sinned or his parents sinned.
Which seems like a pretty common line of thought for the people of that day. Like, somebody had to have done something in order for this man to end up how he is right now.
And we actually, even today, still kind of accidentally believe this from time to time. Like, well, if something bad happened to you, it was almost like certainly because you did something foolish. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But when they come upon this guy, immediately the question is like, hey, Jesus. So this is interesting from the setup. Even when the disciples interact with this guy, it's not really like, hey, can we give this man a new life? Hey, Jesus, can you heal this guy? They actually see him and they're like, well, why is he that way? Did his parents sin or did he sin? And then even later on, you're going to see that the Jewish leaders think the same way. Like, they can't see him as anything other than like a object lesson.
Which makes it seem that this is, again, just a very cultural piece and a cultural understanding of something like this.
But Jesus cuts through all of that. He's not going to use this man as an object lesson. He's going to get right to the point, and he's going to give this guy his sight right back. What he actually says, and it is important to note what he says this, I'll just read it straight from the text. This is verse 3. It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. So basically, God wants to show everyone around the power that he has, the power that Jesus has, that this man can be healed. And the man understands it very clearly because later on he's going to say, this has never happened before. Like, I know that this is God doing this thing.
So basically, he then goes on to say too, like, right now it's like the daytime. We need to do the works of God that sent me here during the daytime, essentially while Jesus is still alive. Because there will come a time, like the night when Jesus is crucified, that I won't be able to do these things anymore. So it's interesting, again, how John uses the same type of wording that he has in the past, where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So essentially, like, we need to make use of this time while I'm here helping this person rather than just sitting around and being like, well, it was certainly because of this or definitely because of that.
So Jesus basically gets right to work and heals the man, gives him his sight back. It's like, actually, like, there's not a lot to the story about the actual healing. Jesus just heals him and now he can see. What's interesting is, as soon as this man can see, people's first question to him is, who did this to you? Like, it's literally, there's no space for like, wow, no way. Like,
well, they're even questioning, like, is this even the person?
Yeah.
Like, well, it kind of looks like him, but it certainly can't be because, you know, he was blind. Like, this doesn't make any sense.
And the whole time the guy's like, it's me. No, really. Like, it's actually me. And they still don't believe him. So they go ask his parents. And his parents are like, we heard about what you guys are doing and how anybody that says Jesus has power is like excommunicated from the church, from the synagogue. So we're not sure. You should just ask him.
Well, what's funny too, because they're having this conversation with him, and then those same Jews that are like, they know who he is, the neighbors and whatnot. They bring him to the Pharisees. So the Pharisees are seeing him for the first time and they have a conversation with him and say, now, like, listen, who did this and how did this end up happening? And it feels like they don't totally get like a clear sense of who he is or who this person is that healed him, except that the blind man says, well, he was definitely a prophet. And they don't like that. So they go away. And then the other Jews that still don't believe him, this is when they start inviting the parents into the conversation. So what's like gets to me is that like what seems to be a situation where somebody has received sight for Pete's sake, like they can finally see. And all we fixate on is like, well, who did it? There's no way. Like, how in the world did this even happen? Rather than like, this is amazing. Like, how exciting. Like, glory to God for the things that he's done. But instead, just fixated on trying to trap someone.
Again, the problem is the problem they're seeing is that this man was healed on the Sabbath. And this is so interesting to me, like as we've spent, I mean, at this point, it's April, we've been spending several months just reading the Gospels. So we're getting very familiar with Jesus' ministry, like the things that Jesus did. It's very often that Jesus is healing people on the Sabbath, which I think is very provocative. Like, how can you not see that he is purposely pushing the edge here and purposely, I think, causing a confrontation so that he can make the point that God wants to care for people, God wants to restore people, God has a deep concern for his people way above and beyond the Sabbath. But they just can't see it. The religious folks can't see it. They can't allow it. And so it's like, this guy healed me on the Sabbath. I don't care that he can see. I care that you broke the Sabbath.
Well, and I think too, if you've ever been in a situation where you're like, you have like a grand story, right? Of like, my day started like this. You will never believe how I ended up here. It's kind of like we're in like three quarters of the way through of that story for this man. So not only have they questioned him, they've taken him to the Pharisees questioned his parents. Now they're questioning him again because the parents are like, well, I don't know, just go ask him. Like, he's definitely our kid, but like, go talk to him because we're not totally sure.
They're afraid.
Because they don't want to be a part of it either. So then he has to be confronted again by the Pharisees. So like, that's what I was talking about. Like, imagine your day, crazy day, starting here, ending here. Like, this is like, I don't know, like the climax of the story, like, and then this happened, you won't believe it. So they're having this conversation and they're asking him again, like, who or how did he open your eyes? And he's kind of getting short with them at this point. At least I think so. In verse 27, he said, I have told you already. This is the blind man or formerly blind man telling the Pharisees, I've already told you and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to be his disciples? And so I think this is hilarious because I'm like, okay, maybe he's like being sarcastic with them because he knows that they despise him. Or he's just like, listen, if you want to be his disciples, I'll show you who the guy is. Like, genuinely caring for them. Like, maybe that's something you're interested in. But it's just like, it's so crazy that they get to this point.
So your first thought, actually, just to be personal about this, you actually thought he was being sarcastic, like just kind of frustrated or annoyed.
I would feel exhausted. Like, if I was this blind person and I had received my sight, obviously I would be so thankful and so happy and like eager to tell everybody about it. But it seems like everybody he tells or everybody that finds out is like super critical and wants to like almost condemn him for it. That's what it was just like. I can't imagine after being asked like the fourth and fifth time, like, okay, yes, he did it. Like, do you want to be one of his followers? Because it certainly seems like that. And maybe that's just like my negative side coming out.
I think it's definitely possible to look at it either way. Because I see it as like he's actually so genuinely excited that he can see that he's like, whoa, do you want to be his disciples too? Because there's no question that he believes in Jesus. Like, he makes it very clear that he believes in Jesus. Because if you look at verse 27, he answered them, I've told you already and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And it does, like, I get the sarcasm part there. And they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. So you get this clear rejection, like, we want nothing to do with this guy. You're free to do whatever you want, but we are not like you. And then the man answered, why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will. God listens to him. That's a huge point of this story. And then verse 32 says, never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. So a huge point of this story, at least from the man's perspective, like the guy who can see again, He's saying, like, God doesn't answer the prayers of people who do not do God's will. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty safe assumption. I think this remains true today. Like, if you are an actively sinning person, if you are somebody who is against God, even if you're somebody who's trying to look like a Christian but is hiding their sin, your prayers are going to be hindered. I don't know that God ever completely shuts himself off from you, but certainly you're a fool if you think you can live a sinful life and continue to pray to God and he'll listen to you and do whatever you want. So this guy is saying, like, how could you believe that this is not someone special? How could you believe that Jesus is not a prophet? Because God is doing what he has asked him to do. And this puts the Pharisees in a really weird spot because they're pretty convinced he's, like, led by Satan or something. And they're pretty committed to that point.
Well, and I think, too, the fact that he says never since the beginning of the world has mm-hmm. something like this happened for a person born blind. And I think that just causes you to really, like, step back and consider this has never been something that Jesus has done in the New Testament. You were even saying earlier there is no mention of this even in the Old Testament. So just it's interesting, like, any history that they would have been aware of that has never happened before. So it's like this unexplainable event to begin with, and on top of that, like, how do you argue with that then?
Yes, I was just reading in between a short little commentary by D.A. Carson where he was saying they may have been aware of, like, one or two instances where somebody was temporarily blind and then their sight was restored, mm-hmm. but never ever had they heard of somebody who was blind from birth their entire lives mm-hmm. and received their sight. So everyone is experiencing this as a very significant event. Especially this man is experiencing this as a significant event. And then you see how they start to treat him. So it's obvious that he's not going to back off of the Jesus thing. It's obvious he's not going to back off, like, Jesus is, like, doing the will of the Father. And then they confront him.
One, I think even before we move into the next verse, because I think that is something that hit both of us as well, is he mentions that if he was not from God, he could do nothing.
Right.
So, like, I think that almost feels... I think it is and probably felt like a jab to the Pharisees, too, because, yeah. like, they would say first and foremost, they align with God.
Yeah.
And, like, how dare you, like, jab at my foundational piece that I say yeah. I believe in when you're like, well, if this guy was, like, if he wasn't from God, he couldn't do that.
Yeah.
So the fact that they can't even recognize him is probably very, like, ooh. It just, like, hurts their pride a lot, I think.
So it hurts their pride a lot because verse 34 says, they answered him, you were born in utter sin and you would teach us, and they cast him out. So they just end up insulting him.
Well, that full circle comes back yeah. to the beginning conversation when even the disciples thought, well, like, what sin was he a part of that he was born this way? The fact that they just kind of default back to that same, well, sin must have been present, so that's what's going on with your life. You wouldn't know any different anyway because you were born into sin. Like, ooh, it just feels like, I don't know, playground talk. It's ridiculous.
It is very silly. That, like, what you're seeing here is their hearts are very hard. They refuse to see what's right in front of them. This kind of spiritual hardness is still around today. People who can clearly see the fruit of what God is doing and continue to refuse to believe it.
So just to kind of come around towards the end of the story here. So as I was saying earlier, imagine your day starting out one way, ending one way. So you're through this whole entire day of just constant questioning. The fact that it ends at verse 35 to the end of the chapter, where Jesus finds out that he was cast out by the Pharisees mm-hmm. and then goes and purposefully finds him to mm-hmm. make sure, like, hey, we're, like, on the same page here. Like, I'm the one who healed you and there's a reason for it and you have, like, eternal purpose is, like, so crazy because all those conversations leading up until this point, I feel like would have been super discouraging and, like, I probably would have just been, like, I wish he would have just left me alone. But Jesus comes back around and, like, meets him as an outcast that has just experienced God working a miracle in his life. I think that's really cool.
And the guy who used to be blind but now can see says in verse 38, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. That's very significant because only God is worthy of worship. Only God. You cannot worship anything other than God himself. And so this man worships Jesus for giving him back his sight, and Jesus accepts his worship. So I've kind of been, like, chasing this thread of Jesus declaring that he is God, proving and saying over and over and over again that he is God. The fact that Jesus allows this man to worship him as God shows that Jesus was making the case that he is God.
And finally, Jesus is like on the side of this poor blind man while he's being questioned, because at the end, crazy enough, some of the Pharisees hear what Jesus says, because Jesus says, like, those that did not see may see, and those who may become blind, or may see, may become blind. So the Pharisees hear him saying, like, some Pharisees, feels like they're just like these little ticks that won't go away. They hear him, they say, so are we also blind? And Jesus kind of like steps up, it feels like, for this man, and says, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, your guilt remains. So it's just, it's interesting how it feels like Jesus kind of like closes out this poor man's like crazy day by like coming and, I don't know, like almost supporting him. Mm-hmm. After all the questioning.
So it's interesting. I think the takeaway for today is it's very easy for us to come into contact with somebody who has experienced significant life change. And I'm taking a little bit of liberty with the story here. It's easy for us to continue to judge them as they used to be instead of as they are now. And that is exactly what the Pharisees are doing in this chapter. Now, granted, they are trying to come after Jesus. They're blinded by Jesus, essentially. Like, they don't want to admit that he is God. But they refuse to see the change that has happened in this man. They refuse to celebrate the change that has happened in this man. And their final insult toward him is like, whatever, you were born in sin. Who cares what you have to say? We cannot fall into this kind of nonsense. And it is like a really hard thing to combat in your own life. At least it is for me, because God does change people in radical, transformational ways. He still does it today. And we don't want to be the people that are standing on the sidelines being like, I know who you used to be. You're not any different than you used to be. Get out of here. We want to accept change. It's okay to like evaluate what's going on. It's okay to make sure that people are real disciples of Jesus. But God does still change people in radical ways. He's continuing to do that today. We don't want to be somebody who refuses to see it. So we'll be back again tomorrow looking at John chapter 10. We'll see you then.
Thanks for joining today's episode of God's Plan, Your Part. As always, please consider partnering with us, as we are a listener-supported podcast that we hope to continue to grow with support from listeners just like you.
We've made it super easy to partner with us, and you can support us by following the link in our show notes or our description. You can support us with as little as $3 a month.
Every little bit of this helps so much, and we're so thankful for your support. With that in mind, here's today's reading.
John chapter 9. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with his saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, Is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, It is he. Others said, No, but he is like him. He kept saying, I am the man. So they said to him, Then how were your eyes opened? He answered, The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, Go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received my sight. They said to him, Where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, How can a man who is a sinner do such things? And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes? He said, He is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight, until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered, We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and you would teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For the judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of God's Plan, Your Part. Don't forget, you can find us on just about every social media platform and YouTube. Let us know what you thought of today's episode, and if you have any questions, go ahead and post them there. You can also reach out to us directly at godsplanyourpart@gmail.com. As always, if you don't have a Bible, or if you'd like to use the one that we use, reach out to us via email and we'll be happy to send one to you. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you again tomorrow.